chapter 3, the first 21 verses. Now, there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, 'You must be born from above.' The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God." These are the words, the sacred words of Scripture. You're familiar with today's gospel. You have heard it many times, either in its entirety, in the passage, or in pieces. There are a number of persons in this gospel. We have Jesus. We have Nicodemus. And it's my impression that the disciples were also present, because that would have been unusual for them not to be there, either during supper or after supper when Nicodemus came to visit Jesus. The next person that was spoken about was the Holy Spirit. And lastly, Jesus invoked God, the Father. I want to talk about the Holy Spirit and Nicodemus today. Jesus used a very interesting analogy. He said, "The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes." And then Jesus drew the analogy, and he said, Jesus is telling us that the Holy Spirit of God goes wherever God wants it to go. You do not hear the sound. You do not know where it comes from or where the Holy Spirit is going. Now, the people of Jesus' time accepted the mystery of weather. Some number of weeks ago, there was another gospel reading where Jesus talked about the winds coming from the south and the winds coming off the Mediterranean Sea. And he used that analogy. And today he used another analogy, the wind itself. And even today, with all the weather satellites and computer forecasting, weather is an uncertain science. I've often thought that if I had to do a career choice over again, where I could be wrong perhaps 50% of the time and still be called a professional, weather forecasting would be it. So the analogy that Jesus used of wind continues to be apropos today. God's Holy Spirit comes from a place we're not sure about, and it arrives, there's an effect, and then it leaves. But it has an effect on everybody it encounters, and it goes on after its encounter. We look at the wind. When the wind blows against the tree, the leaves move. It's an encounter. The leaves may not fall, but yet the leaves are moving. There's an encounter. And fallen leaves in our time of year now in fall have a destiny. They're to replenish the earth. And we have a destiny in life, and the Holy Spirit is moving against us to help us fulfill that destiny. A man by the name of James S. Stewart, who died in 1990, was the chaplain to the Queen of England and a professor at the University of Edinburgh. He wrote a book called The Wind of the Spirit. And he wrote, "No man can tell where the Spirit of God is going to lead him before his life on earth is done." So in today's gospel, we know that God's Spirit led Nicodemus. We can partially say that maybe it was pure curiosity that drove Nicodemus to visit with Jesus. But maybe it was more than that. And if we believe the Holy Spirit of God is active, we'd like to say it was more than that. Because Nicodemus, at the beginning of his life, was brought to become a Pharisee, a strict observer of Jewish law. Then he was brought to be a leader, a ruler in the Pharisaical community. So it was more than curiosity that drove him to Jesus, because I think he listened to the Spirit another time. Now, we know that Nicodemus went to see Jesus at night. And I often wonder, as I meditated on this passage, how often I have visited Jesus at night, where I didn't want people to know I was there. I didn't want people to know that I was consulting with Jesus. So why at night for Nicodemus? He did not want his fellow Pharisees to know that he was visiting Jesus. He might lose credibility. He might lose status. He might lose authority. He might lose standing with his fellow leaders in the Jewish community. And yet he wanted to meet Jesus face to face and have a discussion with him. And even in that meeting, when Nicodemus addressed Jesus, he addressed him as a fellow teacher. Acknowledged signs, but he still said, "Teacher," just as he was a teacher. We're equal. And Jesus alluded to this later on in his discussion with Nicodemus, because he said, with some incredulity, "Are you a teacher of Israel and still you do not understand these things?" And what he was partially addressing was how the wind moves, because Nicodemus was not responding to that apparently. Now, after this passage, we move forward in John's Gospel some 16 chapters later. So from chapter 3, now we're in chapter 19, and we start at verse 39. And that's when we learn that Nicodemus did two things. Number one is he brought 75 pounds of myrrh and aloes, spices, to Jesus' burial spot so that Jesus was given a proper burial in accord with religious law. So Nicodemus first visited Jesus at night. Later, he became public. Later, he openly delivered a lot of spices so that Jesus was given the appropriate burial for a good Jewish man. So here was Nicodemus. Nicodemus, who at first did not perhaps realize that the wind of the Spirit was stirring in his heart, and he did not know where that wind was going to lead him. But it did, because he followed the wind. He followed the Spirit. In that same chapter, later on in John's Gospel, in the judgment hall of Pontius Pilate, in went Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, who publicly announced that they wanted the dead body of Jesus to give him a proper burial. So Nicodemus became very public. It was one of the most boldest and most heroic actions in the gospel narrative. While all of Jesus' followers, those people that had been with him for years, were hiding, except for the women that were at the cross, Nicodemus came forward. The Holy Spirit went where it wanted to go. The Holy Spirit encountered Nicodemus. Nicodemus was affected by the Spirit, and he followed the Spirit. Then we look at the apostles later on, well after Jesus' resurrection. That little group of people in the upper room in Jerusalem did not know how the wind of the Spirit was going to affect them, But later on Pentecost Day, it did stir their hearts. And it did carry them and their successors to confront Caesar and to conquer the world. And we know that because we're here today. The Holy Spirit went where it wanted to go. It encountered the apostles and disciples, and they were affected by the Spirit. Chaplain Stewart observed, Martin Luther, the German monk studying the epistle to the Romans in his monastery cell, did not know how the wind of the Spirit would affect him. But it did stir him, and it stirred him to shatter and remake God's church, the Church of Jesus. The Holy Spirit went where it wanted to go. It encountered Martin Luther, and he was affected by the Spirit. The early separatists who bravely confronted the monarchy of England and eventually sailed the ship the Mayflower to this country did so under the stirrings of the Holy Spirit. They could, as did almost all of their fellow countrymen, just decide to quietly live under a religious rule of not of their own choosing. Instead, they courageously listened to the Holy Spirit, were affected by the Holy Spirit, and reacted to the Holy Spirit. And here we are as Congregationalists. The Holy Spirit went where it wanted to go, encountered those people, and the separatists responded. James Stewart then wrote about the church today when he said, "And today, Christensen, with 2,000 years behind it, does not know where the next 2,000 years are going to carry it, to what strength of unity, what triumphs of mission, and what redeeming impact on the total life of men and women around them. And for that individual, each of us, what is the incalculable destiny of the Holy Spirit for us if we allow the wind of the Holy Spirit to affect us?" The Holy Spirit continues to affect us, encounters us. It encountered you yesterday. It's going to encounter you today. And the Spirit of God is going to encounter you tomorrow. Whether you feel it and react to it and it affects you is totally up to you. So the big questions are, how are we affected by the Holy Spirit? And how do we respond to the Holy Spirit? How do we react to God's Holy Spirit? This morning we saw the people who went to Appalachia, and of course the people within your pews next to you who helped them to travel there. And there are many, many other stories of response. I've been here long enough to learn many, many of them. There's people that are responding in this congregation, in the choir behind me, and in those people who are well above me. They're all here responding in any way, shape, and form to God's Holy Spirit. So the question I have to ask myself is, how did Nicodemus respond, and how am I responding? Did Nicodemus finally go public? Yes, he did. Am I public in what I do in my daily life, not just here, but in my daily life? And I entrust the same questions to you. Do you feel the stirrings of the Spirit? And when you do, how do you respond to those stirrings?